98.7 FM. Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata.
It's going to be lit, is what I hear every single day. It's the greatest radio show ever.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata. This is the
greatest. Good morning and welcome.
I love this show.
Me too.
It's the greatest radio show that's ever existed.
It really, really is.
In case you needed a refresher for the new version of the prolonged open.
Let's cut the crap, Mr. Murata.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world.
Welcome into the Thursday edition of the Bickley and Murata Show. No Bickley, no Murata. Not as much Jarrett today, in theory. Luke Lipinski and Lorenzo Alexander in for Bickley and Murata. Jarrett is here. So how you doing?
Doing good. Stuff. Doing well.
Things are good. Hold on. Let me turn this on because the producer didn't do it.
Oh. There we go.
Yeah.
Man, my last try to get to host the show again was foiled.
Yeah. You have to adjust when Jarrett's producing your show. Here, I'm going to turn the mic up, too. Hold on.
So this is why I normally, I sit where I sit because I'm comfortable over here. So normally, I sit to the right of Wolf's seat. Today, yeah. I'm in Wolf's seat. I don't like, because it's still his seat.
Yeah, he
you
does.
Know, and as a football player, we never sat in veteran seats, regardless if they was in the room or not, right? So I'm going to blame that one on Luke for making me move over.
That's fair. He might, and Wolf's still in the building. He might come running back in and be like, what are you doing in my seat?
Right.
So, yeah, so that's.
What are you doing?
Yeah, so it's been a while since we've done this show, man. What have you been up to?
I've been good. I guess one of the biggest changes is that I'm back in school, going to GCU, doing an online program, Master's in Psychology and Life Coaching, something that I'm, you know, passionate about as far as impacting people. And so just trying to improve myself from an academic perspective. And so I can add that to the guys when I go back and impact them, whether that's coaching my kids at, you know, 9 and 10 years old or working with some of these professional athletes, whether I'm at Exos or maybe even one day with a professional football team.
I enjoyed the first 3 days this week because I felt like I was the most athletic person on the show. It was just me and Jarrett, so it wasn't like a huge bar to
clear. Yeah.
That has been ruined, though, today when you walked in here, so thanks for that.
Yeah, I still work out pretty good, but you got a little something to you.
Nah.
You're a hockey player. I mean, I can't skate.
You still can't skate? You said you were going to be able to skate.
No, I mean, I can stand.
Okay.
I can move, right. But I don't really, you know, that's not skating.
You can stand on the seat. Pushes him from behind on the ice.
Have you ever seen the video of Larry Fitzgerald skating at Coyotes practice? It was like 5 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's just so different. Was he wobbly all over the place?
It's Fitz. He was somehow better at it than he should have been.
Yeah.
Because I remember he was like, we were there, and I don't even remember why he did it, but they had to get skates that fit him. Like, he didn't have his own skates, but he's like, yeah, I'm from Minnesota. I can do this.
Oh, okay.
And right as he was about to get on the ice, they were like, how often, like, have you skated? He's like, never. And then he went out there and they were like, he had the full, like, the hockey stick. They were feeding him passes and he was like shooting and everything.
Yeah.
Which is not easy if you don't know how to skate.
Yeah. 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 He's like, my son is like that. He's my 11-year-old. He can pick up anything and dominate it. Like,
yeah.
Skating, rollerblading. He did that 1 or 2 days and he looked like he was a professional.
You could use him on the Coyotes. How good is he going to be in like 7 years? Because they could use him.
Yeah. He might be right up there. You know, living in Buffalo, we got into it a little bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, who knows?
Well, there we go, Jarrett. Fitz is going to come back. We'll play hockey, and Zoe's son will ultimately be playing for the Coyotes in about 7 years.
He's going to go on a golf podcast and announce his return to hockey. Larry Fitzgerald.
All right, let's get into the splash.
The splash,
splash.
The stories making waves in the sports world.
The splash.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
Yeah, there is a lot going on today. It feels like the NBA Finals were 6 months ago. They were just over a week ago. And yet, here we are. The NBA Draft is tonight. Lorenzo, the Suns are picking 29th. This is very unfamiliar territory for them and for us because we're like, yeah, good luck predicting who you're going to take 29 picks into a draft.
Yeah, it's so crazy how the NBA draft is so different from the NFL. Once you get out of that, you know, lottery pick, it's like a significant drop-off, and guys rarely pan out where you can constantly find diamonds in the rough on the back end of the draft. It's crazy just how different the sports are when you're dealing with these elite athletes.
I thought you were going to say how different it is that the NBA season ended 1 week ago,
and
now it's the draft. We have 3 months of hype before the NFL draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The pandemic has made you kind of adjust to everything. So nothing surprises me as far as the schedule. I mean, never played basketball in July. So, I mean.
But it's still, it would have been the end of, I mean, it's always like a week and a half after
close,
the season. Yeah.
Right.
I just like that it's not the same week as the NHL draft. They at least spread that out this year. Usually they're like 2 days apart. And we'll have Kellen Olsen in later on in the show to, should we just make him predict who they're going to take at 29? Just project the entire
That'll be fun.
Round? Yeah, okay, we'll do
Let's
that
do
to
it.
Kellen. That's in the 11 o'clock hour. To Cardinals training camp, J.J. Watt with the hamstring injury, not going to practice here for a little bit. He's actually on the PUP list, I believe, but he said not a big deal. And I will defer to you on this one, Zoe.
I'm not worried about it. I'm more worried about the PUP designation because I know there are some stipulations in that as far as when you can come off the PUP. So that'll be interesting in how long he stays on that. But other than that, I'm not worried about J.J. being ready to go, you know, a month and a half from now.
He said over and over again, and we'll play some of the audio next segment, but he repeatedly said, look, I only care about week one at this point. And I would assume most players are that way, but there's a point, right, in your career where J.J. Watt's been doing this for a decade where it kind of flips over and you realize, I'm here, I've already proven it.
Right, yeah, he'll be good. It'll be good to get some actual, maybe like a series or two just to kind of knock some of that maybe rust off, but I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about why are we still running conditioning tests for our veterans, especially when you're over 30, has some history there. But we know J.J. is a worker. So yeah, we know he's going to come in shape. So with a guy with that type of history, why are we even having him run a conditioning test?
Personally, I blame the higher-ups in the union that they weren't able to.
In the union? Believe me, we've discussed this ad nauseum about getting a conditioning test taken off.
I just want the listeners to know Jared said that with soundproof glass between
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
2 inches of, yeah.
Back to basketball. Robert Sarver was on with Burns and Gambo for a while yesterday in the 3 o'clock hour, and he talked a lot about the state of the Suns. You know where they have how far they've come in the last year, where he anticipates them going. He did talk about Chris Paul as well, and I'll play this one clip for you right now. They asked him anything that would prevent you from bringing Chris Paul back next year.
I don't know. I'm sure there probably is, but I think our first priority would be to try to get him back, but, you know, that'll depend on, you know, his agent and James and him and me and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see next week, I guess.
I mean, I assume he's coming back.
He's coming back. He's like, I know what really the story is, but I got to keep this thing real kind of open-ended.
Okay.
Just so in case somebody thinks his tampering is going on.
Okay.
That's how I took it, especially after I listened to it a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then Burns and Gambo played it over and kind of broke it down. That's my take on it.
Yeah.
I almost said we have him signed, but I can't. Oh, I just remembered I can't say that.
It did feel like he was like faking apathy towards it. Like, Chris Paul, who's that? To baseball, the Diamondbacks traded Eduardo Escobar to the Milwaukee Brewers for a couple prospects. Not anybody like at the top of their prospect pool. We knew Escobar was going to get dealt. That's been talked about for weeks, and they were just kind of waiting for what they figured would be the best offer. Trade deadline is tomorrow. I would assume there's going to be more D-backs dealt. The one I'm kind of interested in is, like, could you move Madison Bumgarner? Get out from under that contract, which, where they are right now, you want to get out from under every contract.
Right. Yeah, it's just crazy, you know, just the way the baseball season has went, you know, having great players like Matt Bum, you know, obviously haven't played that great coming off an injury. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, they have to do things that's going to allow them to win in the future. And it's a huge possibility because teams are calling.
Well, in the same mode as the Arizona Diamondbacks, the Arizona Coyotes, who clearly had Bill Armstrong with a plan of let's trade everything we can to get good picks. They've done it. They traded Darcy Kemper yesterday. This is actually, you know, on the surface, you trade Darcy Kemper, you're not going to be as good next season. But considering what they got back, I'm surprised they were able to get not only a first-rounder for a goalie, which is it's tough to do in today's NHL. They got one of Colorado's better prospects, too, in Connor Timmins on defense. It's like, they now have, they've got a couple prospects out of these trades. They don't have like a complete roster yet for next year, but they've gotten prospects, and they have 7 picks in the first 2 rounds of next year's draft, which is supposed to be one of the best drafts of the 2000s.
Yeah, that's what happens when you have a new GM, new head coach. They're trying to build this team in their own image and really have a control and really put their name on who they want this organization to be. And so, you know, it's crazy to see that many players get moved on. Yeah. I've been a part of organizations to do that, so it's a shock to the system. Like, man, this is a real business right here. So I think with that, and then obviously want to put your mark on the team, hopefully it pans out by being able to have great evaluators and do something special in that organization by bringing in great players.
Never a good sign, though, when you preface statements like, well, they don't have a roster for next season.
They don't have a full roster. Really,
well, they're not about to play a game tomorrow, so does it matter?
That's true. First game's not until October, so they still got 2.5 months, basically. All right, when we come back, we'll jump into Cardinals camp. J.J. Watt, you know, whether it's a big deal or not, he's dealing with an injury, however minor it might be, to start things off. So where does that put your confidence level as we head towards really the meat of training camp and eventually the start of the preseason regular season? That's next. Luke Lipinski, Lorenzo Alexander, in for Bickley and Marotta on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta. Dan Bickley and Vince Marotta. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Go!
Welcome back to the show. Luke Lipinski, Lorenzo Alexander in for Bickley and Marotta. And, let's start. Let's just get right into it with J.J. Watt here with training camp going. And actually, before we get into that, Zoe, because we didn't have you on earlier this week with all the Chandler Jones stuff, and I'm seeing Xavier Howard's name up on TV right now and all that. Just from a player that played very recently's perspective, when you are a teammate of a guy that requested a trade like Chandler Jones did, but then he shows up to camp and he says, like, you know, that's just the business or whatever.
Right.
Does that even have an impact on his teammates?
No.
Okay.
I mean, especially if it's a good dude, you know, like Chandler is, when you have a respect of your teammates and, you know, you conduct yourself in a certain type of way, guys respect the fact because they understand that this is a business, right? And a team will be quick to, you know, cut you or trade you. And so as a player, anytime he's dealing with his contract and his money, you understand that is a business transaction. It's not like it's he's saying that I don't like these guys or I can't win with these guys. It may just be for a total different reason where for him, he thinks he needs to be in a different place. And so it happens all the time. And so you learn how to compartmentalize that part of the game, unlike that you have to encounter in college or high school sports.
Is it tough for a guy like Chandler Jones in that position to, I know he had a rough year last year because he was hurt for most of it, but I mean, the previous 4 years, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL.
Yeah.
And then, like, he certainly seems excited to play alongside J.J. Watt. Why wouldn't you? But at the same time, he's probably looking around being like, okay, well, he just got paid and he wasn't even here the last 5 years. Why am I not getting paid?
Yeah, I mean, that plays in your mind. I mean, all those things, you look at all those type of situations. And again, it's hard to figure out GM sometimes and the way they operate and why they pay certain guys. And you drive yourself crazy trying to figure that out. And so I think Chandler went about it the best way he could, you know, asked for a trade, said no. All right, I'm going to show up and still work out and go about my business. But it does play a role. I mean, even for a guy like myself, and I know Chandler, I believe, is over 30 now too. You know, when I have my big year and then you're paying other guys coming in off of whatever their situation is, you're like, well, what about me? I mean, so you do as a human being, you're going to have those thoughts. And it's just all about how do you communicate that? How do you react off of that? Whether or not in my mind it makes it professional or you just out of pocket. But I think he's done a great job as far as how he handled it, showed up, looked in great shape. I was able to see him just kind of walking by and look pretty good and, you know, was out there practicing and ready to go.
Because he's 31, J.J. Watt's 32, so not like a big difference, but also not like they went out and signed a guy that's 25 and you're 35. So he's probably like, hey, well, you signed a guy that's technically older than me.
Yeah, I mean, it matters, but J.J. played all of last year, right? He might have missed a game or two.
Yeah.
Had a solid season, and I think that matters as well versus Chandler coming off the injury. And so maybe if he hadn't came off the injury and was playing at a high level, he would have more leverage or, you know, Steve might have been more open to saying, hey, shoot, yeah, I'll pay you. Just gave me another, you know, 14, 15 sack season with your tackle for losses. So, yeah, maybe we can find a way to pay you as well. But, you know, that's the business aspect of it. And you're going to have an opinion as a player, but it depends on your leverage, depends on who you are, where you're at in your career and what you've done, you know, lately and how people project you moving forward. And as much as I hate it, and I don't agree with this assessment, when you get over 30, and obviously there's some exceptions to the rule. Obviously, J.J. got paid. Cam Jordan is another guy that got paid. People typically feel like, okay, it's going to happen at some point that this drop-off is going to happen. You've been too great for too long, right?
Yeah.
I would love to pay you, but I just can't, because I know it's going to happen. And most GMs would rather get rid of a player a year too early than keep a player a year too long and pay him, just because of how the salary cap works and how wide that window is, which oftentimes is a very short window as far as you winning and being impactful as a football player, because it's hard to be consistent and play at a high level, even though you have guys that have done it.
Yeah. And let's face it, even though in those five games before he got hurt, Chandler Jones wasn't, I mean, there's factors that were involved, but he didn't have a dominant first five games.
No.
So you factored that in with the
Yeah,
the
and
injury.
I don't know how much you factor. I mean, when you factor that in, I mean, who else was out there helping him on the line? I mean,
nobody.
Getting double teams, getting chipped. So he was doing his part. What they needed last year was another guy to step up, and that's why you like to have J.J. Watt now, what he brings. You got Marcus coming back. Obviously, they're signing him. He got signed or traded for later after Chandler had gotten hurt to kind of replace him, right? Jordan Phillips was banged up, hurt all last year. So there's a lot of reasons why. You know, if you only have one really great rusher with everybody else kind of being young and trying to find their way, he's gonna chip him, double him all game. And that's why he's with the Giants, who signed
Hassan Reddick.
Yeah. He had some great games because, you know, they weren't worried about him, especially kind of early on there. So you have to take the whole picture, not just worry about stats, but actually watch the game and see how people are attacking him.
And you were right. Watt did play 16 games last year.
Okay.
This Darren Urban just tweeted this out, too. DeAndre Hopkins sat out today with a, quote, minor thing, according to Kingsbury. And then Rodney Hudson, Justin Pugh, Andy Isabella, and COVID protocol. So that's from like a minute ago, Darren Urban tweeting that one out. To J.J. Watt, he said yesterday that he just, you know, taking precautions, basically. What the opener is September 12th, I think. Either way, it's like a week and a half into September. So as you were saying earlier, Zoe, like there's no point in J.J. Watt peaking on July 29th. Not that he would just sit, but if there's anything going on with the hamstring,
right,
he's going to be smart about it.
We obviously did the conditioning test yesterday, completed the conditioning test, and then had a little soreness in my hamstring afterwards. So we're just being very smart about it. Obviously, being in the league 10 years, and the biggest thing that I know is that it's all about week one. So it's all about being ready for September 12th and just making sure that we're taking a smart, smooth approach to that date.
It's if you're a Cardinals fan, your only hesitation with bringing J.J. Watt in was, you know, yes, he played last year, but he's had injuries over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this kind of stuff is happening across 32 teams around the league where, you know, a veteran player that's established has kind of a minor injury. He probably would play if there was a game this Sunday.
Yeah. Well, you said it was soreness.
Yeah.
That's the first time I heard that audio clip. People said it's a strained hamstring, which is more significant than soreness. So if it's just soreness, he's just being precautious because he knows his body.
Yeah.
And to me, again, that's a great sign of why we shouldn't be doing these conditioning tests. I mean, especially for guys that are older in the league, that are proven as far as work ethic, there's no need for him. What does he have to prove? And because of who he is and the reason why he's in the league and been at the top, he is competitive. So anytime you put a guy out there like that, he's not going to just try to make the time that you've given him. He's going to try to beat the rest of his teammates too. And so he's out there sprinting, right? Even somebody reported last year, he's out there flying around trying to win these sprints.
Yeah.
Because you just built that way. That's all I know how to do. And then you walk off and like, you have a soreness in your hamstring. Like, okay, what did we gain out of him showing that he could run sprints faster than anybody else? You know, it just doesn't add up.
What's the best case scenario? All of a sudden, J.J. Watt is faster today than he was yesterday because he ran that sprint?
Yeah, this doesn't make sense. And why would you ever want to load an athlete like that, that you normally don't train that way, right? You normally don't – nobody sets out a protocol for you as far as your training program and say, okay, today we're going to run 14 sprints high-end – with minimal rest, just to get you ready. That's not how we train and how we build up, because we no longer do, especially as a D lineman, you're not running like that.
Yeah.
And so it's just, I don't think it's the smartest way. And a lot of teams do this. A lot of organizations have this test, but I think it's really based out of just tradition more so than anything, because even when you talk to a trainer, like, yeah, I mean, if I was like in my own private setting, I would not have my athletes do this, but because obviously the coaches have kind of demanded that we do this just to test guys to see who's been working. You can see that in practice after people running routes, running around, who's running to the ball, who's not running to the ball. That stuff will identify itself where you don't have to strain or put a person's body under that much tension in that type of environment.
Stuff that they would actually do during a game where you're running to the ball instead of just running in a straight line for 40 yards.
Exactly.
All right. We'll get back into that certainly throughout the show. When we come back, though, try and get some try and read into what Suns owner Robert Sarver told Burns and Gamble yesterday afternoon. Not just his thoughts on Chris Paul, but what exactly he expects from his team going forward now that they got within two games of winning the NBA title. That's next. Luke Lipinski, Lorenzo Alexander in for Bickley and Murata on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Alongside Lorenzo Alexander, Luke Lipinski back here with you in for Bickley and Murata. Before we jump into the Sun stuff, just throwing this back out there again, too. Darren Urban tweeting out a few minutes ago that Rodney Hudson, Justin Pugh, Andy Isabella in COVID protocol, and then he added to that Keyshawn Johnson in COVID protocol as well. That's all according to Cliff Kingsbury. And then he also tweeted DeAndre Hopkins sat out practice with a, quote, minor thing, unquote, and we'll be back soon. Said Kingsbury wouldn't specify, but we'll be back soon. So, look, so some of that stuff is just to be expected in training camp where you have vets, you know, maybe just missing a few days here or there. But that's, what is that, four players? They're right there in COVID protocol. I mean, this is a whole new world, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's why people want to have players vaccinated because, I don't know whether those guys are vaccinated or not, but from a coach's perspective, obviously, even if you have a close contact, there's no really issue because you can still kind of carry on. But if you're unvaccinated and you have a close contact, then you have to be held out and go through that whole protocol before you can come back to the field. And so even though I respect everybody's decision, for when I'm looking at this from a coach's perspective, that's why you want your players to get vaccinated so you don't miss valuable time. Especially, and we're not worried about Rodney Hudson. Again, he's a veteran. We know he's going to be fine, but he is new to this team, right?
Yeah.
Kyler's going to depend heavily on him and that relationship, whether Rodney's going to be responsible for Mike in the linebacker, calling out what he sees on the defense and that communication, and you want that to occur. But you really worried about it, especially if I'm a younger guy, if I get caught on this, I'm missing valuable time to earn my spot. Coaches aren't able to evaluate me and gain that trust. So if it comes down to me or another guy, I may have missed my opportunity.
Well, two of those guys, I mean, Andy Isabella and Keyshawn Johnson, I would assume this is a pretty big training camp for both those guys.
Yeah. I mean, they drafted wide receivers, you know, people at your position that do what you do. And so, obviously you want to be able to go out there and, have the opportunity to showcase every day. And this is just one of the consequences, right? Or one of the drawbacks that you're going to have to deal with if you decided not to get vaccinated. And again, I don't know if those guys are not, but I'm assuming they're not. Based on the protocol that they're in right now. So that's okay, right? You got to be okay with the decisions that you've made for whatever reasons those are. But it's just unfortunate because you can potentially miss out on opportunity. And that's why this whole protocol in a pandemic is so hard to navigate, because now you're in a new space where you have to, I don't really want to do it, but I want to play.
Yeah.
And so it's just a hard and tough situation for guys to be in, as well as coaches and organizations.
We'll switch gears to basketball. Robert Sarver was on with Burns and Gambo yesterday afternoon. He was on for a while, so we have a lot of good cuts from him in case you missed it. And certainly you can always find the whole thing on ArizonaSports.com. One of the questions they asked him, obviously, is bringing Chris Paul back the highest priority this offseason?
I think that'd be accurate, yeah.
Okay. To call it the highest priority to make sure he's brought back? Okay.
Yeah, but then, you know, he's an unrestricted free agent, and we're in the same boat as everybody else.
Right. Of course. Of course.
So, you know.
He's definitely hedging his answers here. I'll play the one I played earlier, too. Is there anything that would prevent you from bringing Chris Paul back?
I don't know. I'm sure there probably is, but I think our first priority would be to try to get him back, but, you know, that'll depend on, you know, his agent and James and him and me and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see next week, I guess.
I love that quote because at one point he's like, I don't know, it depends on me.
Right, yeah. I mean, this is like one of those stupid rules like the NFL had with the tampering right during free agency. Like everybody knew it was going on, right? And so now they've changed the rules to allow for people to act like or operate the way they have always been operating, as far as agents talking to teams at the combine or leading up to free agency, right? Why if you have a guy that's on your team that's under contract, right? I know he has an option to to opt out if he chooses to, but he's on your team. He's under contract for next year.
Yeah.
And he hasn't made a decision yet. Why can't you say, hey, man, if you opt out, we can give you this? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it's not realistic, because even if the NBA is saying, okay, you can't talk to him for these few days because he opted out, well, maybe you talked to him back in June about this, you know what I mean? When he was on your team and you were paying him.
Yeah.
If I'm paying a guy $44 million, I should be allowed to talk to him.
Right. And so, I mean, when he talks like that, it makes me just feel like they have a deal, but obviously he has to play the part as an owner, right? So he doesn't say anything to incur a fine. But there is no way that you don't have that conversation when he's in the building with you over these past, you know, four or five, especially as you see the season progressing. You see how well everybody's responding to his leadership, how well he's been playing.
Yeah.
You can't tell me they haven't had that conversation. You know, it'd be
pretty negligent if they didn't. Yeah. It's really interesting, though, that that's how you interpreted it, because lots of Suns fans heard that and interpreted it as like, oh, no. Oh, no, here we go.
When you read it, like, I read it before I heard it. When I first read it, I was like, oh, I felt a lot better about this until I read that, in, like, in print. But now that I hear it, it's...
So you also feel that way, that it was just sort of like, ah, I can't really talk about it, so I'm going to be coy? Because a lot of people were like, oh, my God, why is he so wishy-washy? Why is he like, I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah, I can see that in print. When you hear it, it does. That's exactly how he would respond if, like, there was already a deal in place and he couldn't say anything. Or there was already, like, it, not like not anything illegal, but just sort of like, yeah, we kind of talked about this a couple months ago. We know what he's going to do. We know what we're going to do.
Right. And I mean, that's how negotiations work anyway. Let's say there wasn't. I mean, most of the time when a negotiation is going to happen, you don't want to show your whole hand anyway. We'll just say regardless of the rule that they have in place. I don't even know the actual rule, but I know that he could be hit with tampering rules based on that situation in the NBA. As a owner or GM, you never want to come out anyway and say, yeah, we're going to do anything. All things are on the table. Oh, yeah. Really? Well, I was only going to ask for 3 years, you know, whatever, 65 million. I know it's probably more than that. Well, now I'm going to ask for something really crazy because I know it's everything is on the table. So not only do I think that he was just saying that to make sure that he didn't have any in there was unreasonable doubt that he hadn't tampered, you know, to kind of keep that open. But I also believe that you never want to show your complete hand when you're in negotiation talks, because you know that's coming up and I'm going to have to negotiate and compete versus other teams. I don't want to pigeonhole myself into, I said I was going to do this, now I have to do this.
Yeah, you don't want to get in a bidding war with yourself. And you're right. If he's out here, oh, we'll give him whatever he wants. Chris Paul's like turning the radio up like, oh, hey, interesting. Yeah. Let's see. There's more. Do you know what Chris Paul's thinking is about his future overall?
You know, I had some discussions with him after the season. And you know, I said, you know, you've only been a part of the organization for 9 months. So there's really not a lot of history here, but, you know, from a team perspective, it was my best season in 17 years, and it was your best season in 16 years.
Yeah.
So there's really a lot there to kind of keep the two of us together, the Suns and him. But, you know, he's got a decision to make, and a business decision and a family decision, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not our decision. It's his decision, and he'll have to decide whether he's going to become a free agent or opt in his contract. And, you know, we'll know that in the next, 3 days.
I mean, it would be one of the biggest just gut punches in Suns history if they didn't bring him back. And it wouldn't necessarily be their fault. I mean, they obviously want him back. But if he were to just up and leave after that run, after the previous decade of nothing.
Yeah. I mean, and especially when you still have pretty much everybody coming back, it'll be interesting, you know, just kind of listening and kind of having my ear to the ground, you know, listening to ESPN and all the people talk. I mean, is there any other team that can even pay him like the Suns can pay him? Because in my mind, that's the easiest business decision. Or I can come back and make 44, but if I go to, let's say I want to go play for the Lakers and be back home,
yeah,
they only can pay me 10 or 8 or whatever it may be, right?
I think the like specific number is 5.9. Obviously, they can move stuff around, and you know, you can come up with ways to pay. But my stance with the Lakers is Chris Paul could have gone there last year if he really wanted to go there.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm just saying, if he just, oh, well, you know, maybe I want to go there next year, just for whatever reason, right?
Tend to follow the money, don't you?
Yeah, you follow the money, right? If it's that big of a gap, it would be different if the Lakers could, or another team could offer him, you know, $40 million, right? And then the path to the championship looked easier. Then I could say, okay, you may be in trouble, especially if it's a team like the Clippers or LA where he could leave and go there, be at home, play, and then have a better chance of winning a championship.
Yeah.
But when you look at the money difference as far as what he can make here, then you add in the young guns that they have and what he was able to accomplish in such a short period of time, and it almost feels like he's been here, you know, 5-6 years versus the 9 months. That's what it feels like because of the length of the season and what they were able to accomplish. You know, when I look at it, it makes great sense. And then L.A. is only a hop, skip, and a jump. He probably flies private anyway.
Yeah, it's
right?
An hour,
boom, boom,
maybe.
Right. Yeah, it's quick and easy. So those things, I think, all point to him coming back to the Suns. And that's, you know, we already know the Suns want him back. But when you look at it from Chris Paul's perspective, it makes sense that he would come back because, I mean, it's just a great situation holistically.
Yeah, he's invested now, too. I mean, you mentioned the young players. He made a lot of them better. You can text us your thoughts on Chris Paul and his future with the Suns on the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, do a little hash marks. Talk about Aaron Rodgers with somebody who probably knows a little something about Aaron Rodgers. That's next. It is the Bickley and Marotta Show with Luke Lipinski and Lorenzo Alexander on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta. Hash marks.
All right, time for hash marks. Luke Lipinski, Lorenzo Alexander in for Bickley and Marotta. And we should mention that Zach Wilson has signed with the Jets, so they are on their path to a Super Bowl. Is that too premature? Yeah, I would say. They're on their path to maybe not finishing last in the even that seems a little bit
the
high.
The Jets?
Yeah.
They got a long ways to go.
Yeah.
The Jets, oof.
But they have their quarterback, at least.
Hopefully. Do we know that?
Well, they have a quarterback.
Oh, okay. I didn't know we knew that because I thought they drafted a guy in the first round a couple of years ago, too, and now he's on a different team. So, yes, you can be drafted, you know, high, but now you have to put the work in and actually produce. And normally in the NFL, it takes a team. I know the quarterbacks get a lot of love.
Yeah.
But it takes a good organization and a good team around you to have that type of success.
Well, yeah, to be clear, they have their quarterback.
Yeah,
I don't know if
go.
He's going to be a good quarterback.
Right. Yeah.
I still don't know why it's not just
quarterbacks
Fields.
In the first round's all the rage.
Josh Rosen.
So,
not in the
it
same
can work
round
out eventually.
Yet. Eventually, a team will do two first round quarterbacks in the same draft. So, Zach Wilson, it is 4 years, $35.1 million with a $22.9 million signing bonus. So, that's the Jets. I want to get back into the Aaron Rodgers stuff, though, because we talked about it at length yesterday and even a little bit the day before, but certainly yesterday, Zoe, because his press conference was a good half hour. And,
yeah.
And he's. You know, he's somebody that has a lot to say, and he doesn't always say it publicly. Yesterday, he just finally did. I think Jarrett said his answer to the first question was like 12 minutes.
Right, and I think it was a great way. We saw Cole Beasley do the same thing in Buffalo, you know, talking about the vaccination thing. And I think it's strategic in the way where, hey, I'm about to get everything out there. I'm about to answer all the questions you guys have had over the last 2 to 3 months or concerns. And it's out there now. I've told you what it is. Now don't ask me again about it throughout the entire season because it helps obviously you as a player, but then it also helps your teammates. Cause now as other leaders in that locker room, Davante Adams, or whoever else it may be, they don't have to answer those questions. Well, what about A-Rod? How's he feeling? How's he looking? How's he been in the locker room?
He just told you.
Have you seen? Yeah. He just told you.
Yeah.
Right. So it really helps get all the distractions out. Now they can just focus on football, come together as a football team and try to set out to get to another NFC East or NFC Conference Championship and hopefully the Super Bowl this year and win it, hopefully.
So you talk about this from a perspective, not just as a former NFL player, but also, I mean, you played with Aaron Rodgers in college, so you at least know him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, and that was, I don't know, I'm old now, you know, the 17 years ago.
But either way, so you've been on a team with Aaron Rodgers.
I've been on the team, and he's a different guy. I'm a different guy, so I'm not going to act like we're still buddy-buddy, but hey, Aaron, what's up? Hey, Zoe, you know, we keep it pushing. But, I've been in the locker room for a long time. I know who he is. I know how intelligent he is. And so when he's making these statements or making these decisions, it's not just at a whim, right? He's really put some thought into it. He's always been a introvert in some ways as far as being a deep thinker. He thinks through things before he actually reacts to them. And, you know, you may like it or don't like it, but he's put the work in his mind, and that's the way he's going to move.
So as a teammate now, like if you're on the Packers, I mean, it's already a little bit different, the quarterback from everybody else.
Right.
And then when the quarterback is one of the best of all time, there's even more, not like a divide, but it's just there's levels, I guess, to it. And so when he has the offseason he's had, and he has kind of been like, I want out of here, not so much because his teammates are bad, just because of the organization. Yeah. Is there any risk of like, okay, he's sort of on an island by himself in that locker room, or maybe with just like two or three other guys?
No. I mean, depending
on how,
yeah, because he's Aaron Rodgers, and more so, and I'm not in their locker room, so it really all depends, because, you know, even before this happened, you've always heard some rumblings or guys come out like Aaron is all about himself, right? So if he has some relationship with those type of guys,
yeah,
there's probably been more divide created.
Okay.
But for guys like Randall Cobb, right, he wanted to come back. He's back home because him and Aaron probably are really tight. But so if he has a relationship with those guys, and that's not going to change because they understood that it was a business decision, a relationship breakdown with whomever within the front office, and then you're going to have, you know, the other, you know, 40 players that, man, I'm playing with Aaron Rodgers, so it don't even really matter, right? So that's kind of how the dynamic is going to flow within that locker room. But once he gets out there and throwing balls in between them lines, that's who you want out there playing for. He's helping you win games. And in that world, at the end of the day, that's what really matters.
But is there no awkwardness? Because part of Aaron Rodgers' whole deal, his whole problem was that, oh, the Packers haven't surrounded me with enough talent.
Correct.
And they've let too many other good players go.
Which they
have.
Well,
if you're his teammates and you hear those complaints, aren't you like, hey, Aaron, what about us? We're not good enough?
No. I mean, you're not. I mean, because he's trying to figure out the best. And all every single guy on that roster can't say that, right? He's not calling out guys. He just wants more of, maybe he wants another Davante Adams. You know, give me another guy. He's not talking about the whole roster or the whole defense, but there's certain guys, as you, even when you hear him talk yesterday, he was like, hey, man, just listen to my input as far as some guys that are out there, pay some extra money that we can so we can win. That's what we're trying to do, right? He's not disrespecting any of the guys on his roster, but if you're real with yourself, there's better options, right? If I'm playing and I'm on Aaron Rodgers' team in my career and what I did as a pass rusher, and he says, well, we could have got Chandler Jones. For me, I'm not, oh, yeah, well, I mean, Chandler Jones is a better player. So there's some realistic thoughts that have to go through your mind. And then for me, as a player, once I have my opportunity, I'm about to show him, I'm trying to get my own spot, but I'm going to show him I can help you win as well. So there's never really an animosity there, because he's trying to make the team better at the end of the day. And all he really wants, from the way I heard it come across, was he wants to have some input, right? He wants to have more conversations, and you can't tell me, because they listen to scouts all the time, right?
Yeah.
They listen to coaches. The quarterback, and I'm knowing Aaron and the way he prepares, he watches just as much, if not more, film, and so he's a great evaluator because he's trying to attack those guys that he sees on film, or he may be watching another defense and see a receiver running some great routes that he may want. So he's a great evaluator. He has 15 years of doing this and doing it at a high level, and if you've never taken his input in it, there's something wrong with that, right?
That's
it's
weird.
Not like it's a third or fourth year guy. This is a guy that's been in the league a long time, done at a high level, watched a ton of film. At least one of my ideas had to be somewhat intelligent, right? You know, so I think it's, you know, a lot about that. Take one. I don't need to take all of them. I know I'm not the be all end all, and I'm going to have the last word in the matter, but I've been right at least once or twice throughout the time that I've been able, or I've earned the right to be able to have an opinion.
Well, and he also, I mean, when he went through and said, hey, you know, we should have kept Jordy Nelson, we should have kept Charles Woodson, it's not like he did it the other way. It was like, why is Alan Lazard still here?
So, yeah,
you know, he
right,
didn't call
yeah.
out, like,
Micah
guys.
Hyde, another guy that we got in Buffalo, who's a hell of a player, and he was like, I don't know why they let me get out of there. So guys like that you've let go, offense and defensively,
yeah,
that could have helped you win a championship. And he's like, hey, what are we doing? And that's what, as a player, I want my guy to do that, to go to bat for me. Hey, man, this dude is a core guy. He's a blue collar. I know he's not Davante Adams, but this dude, guys in his locker room respect him and trust him, and he produces. So why didn't we keep a Micah Hyde? You know, so when you have a guy going for your bat like that as a player in the locker room, that's the way I look at it, is like, oh, man, he got my back. And that's a positive output. You know, most of us, we like to see the net. Well, I'm not good enough. No, he's trying to make sure we keep the guys that we need that are produced. And everybody in that locker room knows. And so we can go out there and win a championship and not get right up there to the cliff and kind of look at everybody else and watch it from afar. They want to get over that hump and win another one.
It's an interesting thought, because, like, we used to talk about this a lot with Devin Booker, when it was like, okay, you know, how are you going to keep Devin Booker in Phoenix? And even with Chris Paul, I remember talking about this. It was like, okay, if you're making this trade for Chris Paul, Devin Booker's already had some input, I would assume. And
yeah.
I know it's a different sport, there's less players on the team, but specifically with a quarterback, like you said, Aaron Rodgers has probably watched all of these guys on film anyway, and he might just be like, that guy would fit what we're doing.
Yeah.
So you would kind of, I would assume like Tom Brady has some input. I would assume Patrick Mahomes has input in Kansas City.
Right. Yeah. And for me, it always comes down to relationship. And even if, you know, players should play, you know, your role, right? They've had some conversations of let's say you're just a non-athlete, right? If you are working in our space as it is right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we have a great idea that's going to make our show better or bring this company more revenue. You're going to offer that up. And if you've done it long enough, you would think over time your bosses trust you and say, oh, let's try to make that adjustment, right?
At least listen, yeah.
At least once or twice, you know, try to make, let's see if it works, right?
Yeah.
And that's the same thing when it comes to Aaron as far as making sure that you're listening to him and bringing guys in.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at the end of the day, I think you have to lay it out, right, as far as the front office and Aaron. This is how we're going to operate. And then try to stick through that. And that when you have somebody, it comes across like, you lied to me, or you're not, you really just saying that, but I don't really believe it. That's when those relationship breakdowns occur at the end of the day. And that's what it was.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't, he lost trust in whoever it was that was telling one thing, but doing something different.
It's unfixable.
Well, obviously it's not unfixable because he showed up.
But
right
is it
now.
Sort of the he agreed to a last dance scenario.
Well, I don't know. I haven't talked to him about the issue, so I don't know how firmly entrenched he is. I mean, we you know, he talked about sitting out, doing Jeopardy, not playing. He's there. So somebody said something to him. I don't know if it was on their side or somebody in his camp to convince him to come back, because he doesn't need this at this point. His legacy is established and solidified as one of the best quarterbacks to ever played. He has a Super Bowl ring. We all know he's made more than enough money, you know, for his children's children, right? So it's just about adding to it. But so somebody had to say, hey, let's do this so you come back, still be able to live out your passion. And I don't know who said what to make him say, okay, let me come back and do it. If it was the Green Bay side, then it may be fixable.
It's crazy that, I know you just casually threw it in there, but it's true, that Jeopardy is an option. It's like, oh, he might just go host Jeopardy. Like, I don't know how many times that's come up in contract negotiations or divides on teams before. All right, hour number one in the books. We'll come back, and we're going to hear Malcolm Butler was on Big Red Rage last night. We'll react to some of what he had to say. A lot of pressure on that guy in the Cardinals secondary, specifically at the cornerback position, a pivotal position for this team this year. That's next. Luke Lipinski, Lorenzo Alexander in for Bickley and Murata on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.